Welcome to the West Highland Way Race Podcast. I'm John Kinnistan and this is episode 46. Welcome to the latest West Highland Way Race Podcast. This one's going to be a little bit different and a little bit of an experiment, so we'll see how it goes. It is now Friday, the 21st of June, and it's just gone 10:30 in the morning. So the 2013 race is just under 13 and a half hours away. I've taken today off work, like a number of people, I would imagine. And this morning, I'm just sorting out my food and getting my final preparations done. Have some lunch and then plan to try and have a bit of a sleep this afternoon. Whether I'll sleep is another matter, but at least I'll have a rest and get off my feet for a bit. And then get ready, have some food tonight. We've got Becky and Ryan and Becky's sister Jo staying with us, so we're going to have a meal together, and then I'll probably head off to the to Mulgai around about 11 o'clock. It's only half an hour from here. Get there for about 11:30 or so to register and get ready for the race at 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. What I thought I'd do for this podcast is to actually try and do some live clips along the way. So I've got my headcam, which also records voice. And so my plan is to try and give an update throughout the day of the race and try and put it all together afterwards. And hopefully that will give folks a bit of a sense of my race and what it's like to run. I'll try and do a little bit of commentary as I go along and see how that works. So once you get this podcast, the race will be over. And for 2013, the stories will have been told. And there'll be lots of information to find out about. But at this stage, how am I feeling? I say we're just over 13 hours to go. I feel pretty relaxed, actually. I feel as though I've done as much as I could in my training. I'm happy with the preparation I've put in. I would say the two key things that have really helped me this year is the fling. I had a good fling, just over 10 hours, and that was bang on really what I wanted to do and felt pretty comfortable for most of it. Quads were a bit sore over the last couple of hours, which I've been working on. But then I think the two-day run that I did four weeks ago was a real confidence booster. The 40 miles on the first day was in hot conditions and pretty good. And then the 36 miles on the Monday in pretty wet, miserable conditions. But again, I felt really strong right throughout that run. So that's given me quite a bit of confidence. So you can only really prepare and then just see how it goes on the day. But certainly I feel confident enough and I've got a target in mind that I'm seeking to work towards. I'm going to be working on a 22-hour schedule. That's my plan. And I'm hoping that if things go really well and on target, I could get nearer 21 hours, even just a bit under. I was looking at my age graded stats the other day, and if you look at my age graded for 2009, when I did my PB, my 1951-59, if I did the same percentage tomorrow, then my time as a 54-year-old, four years older, it would be 20:35. So that's quite an interesting little target in the back of my mind. I'm not going to set off aiming for that, but I feel as though that could be potentially what I could do. So we'll see. But I'm certainly aiming on anything under 22 hours. I'll take right now, and I'd be really happy with that. Looking at the weather forecast, it's been pretty warm over the last week or two here in Scotland. Katrina ran a race last Sunday in Dalbeattie in the Borders, and that was really hot and pretty close and humid. But the forecast for tomorrow is basically for light showers, one or two heavy showers, even a touch of thunder, one of the forecasts I saw. But I must admit, I would take light rain over really hot weather any day at all. And so if it is a little bit cooler tomorrow and a little bit wet, that's fine. Not quite so good for the support and for the marshals. But certainly for runners, I would take a little bit of rain over their baking heat any day. Also means the midges won't be as prevalent, so that's got to be a bonus. So we'll see how that goes. Just need to make sure I've got enough gear if I get wet several times to change into. So yeah, weather forecast looks pretty reasonable. The other thing is that it's a southerly wind, so that means the wind will be behind us. So if it blows us all the way to Fort William, then that's another little bonus as well. So I'd say this podcast is going to be a bit different, and it's going to be my journey throughout the day. I'll probably do a little clip before the race, and then several clips during the race, and then afterwards as well. So I hope you enjoy. Hi, it's now almost 12:15 on Saturday, the 21st of June. And now sitting in the car at Mulgai train station. I've been in to register, get weighed, got my goodie bag, and now just chilling out in the car, waiting to start. Obviously, most people just want to get going now. It's been a good day. I felt as though it's been quite relaxing. We've had Becky and Ryan and Joe with us for the day, so we spent a bit of time in the morning just getting things ready. Went back to bed for a few hours in the afternoon, and even though I didn't sleep loads, I did rest, and that was worthwhile. And then we had a lovely meal that Katrina cooked for us, lots of pasta and some good food there, pavlova as well, so that was very tasty. And then we sat down and we watched the 2005 video of the West Harlem Way race, the closing distance. So that was quite fun watching that together. And then my friend David came and picked us up about 10:30, and we set off, and we got here about 11:30. Gotta say, got registered, and we're just waiting now for the briefing, which is in about 15 minutes time. So all on schedule. The weather at the moment, it's a little bit wet, not raining at the moment, but the forecast is for light rain throughout the day, I think. So I think it is going to be a bit wet, but hopefully not too bad. And if I'm honest, I'd much rather have cool, and even if it's a bit wet, than have baking heat, because I really struggle in the heat. So I'm quite happy, really. And if it keeps the midges away, that's a bonus as well. So the next little update will be on the route, and I'll try and do one in an hour or two. I'll try and do one, I think, between each of the main checkpoints, and just give a bit of an update of who's around me and what's going on and how the race is going. So that's, say, just about 45 minutes to go before the start of the race. Here's a bit of a flavour of the start. Just imagine yourself, it's 1 o'clock on Saturday morning. You're lined up with another 180 people, 181 started. And this is the sound that you hear as you run through Mulgai High Street on a Saturday morning in June for the start of the West Harlem Way race. Alright, so I've been going 9.97 miles, 1 hour, almost 1 hour 40, and running with probably a group of about 20, not 30 people that have been together running along from Beechtree. And the first sort of 30 minutes, 45 minutes was quite wet. There was drizzle, light drizzle, but it's not cold. But then the last 30 minutes it stopped, so it's really, really pleasant now. It's just a nice, comfortable temperature, not raining. I've just got a long sleeve top on. Quite a few others got jackets, which I think must be getting quite warm by now. But it's a good start. So I'm feeling really comfortable, and really enjoyed the first hour and 40. Got another 20 odd minutes into the German. Okay, next progress report. I'm just climbing up Connick Hill, and been going for 17.1 miles and 3 hours 1 minute. Got to German in 2:02 against my target of 2:10, so that was quite good. And feeling quite comfortable still. It's very very misty now. Can't see more than maybe 100 yards. So
So no sun, no sunrise over the hills, I'm afraid, today. It stopped raining not long after I did the first little update, and it's been quite clear. Lovely temperature, you know, again, just got a long sleeve top on, and hands are fine, so feeling good in that way. I've had something to eat. I've had a little apple turnover thing, and then I've had a peanut butter and jam sandwich, and then when I get down to Balmahar, I've got my mashed potato waiting for me. David, my support, met me about a couple of miles outside of Jimin, just where you cross the road, across the car park into the woods, and it was just about doable without the head torch, so I gave it to him, which has been good. So I've not had the head torch for the last hour or so into Balmahar. So far, so good.
The next clip is arriving into Balmahar checkpoint. I was going, took me 3 hours 25:32 to get there, and it's just about 19 miles into the race.
Morning! Morning, guys! Hi. Morning!
There you go.
Yeah.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi. Yeah, we'll just walk through. Hiya. Thank you. Hi, girls.
Did you want?
Yeah, I'll eat the mashed potato now, and I'll change my top into another long sleeve top.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You want the big bottle?
No, I think I'm okay actually. Yeah, if you can just refill that one. Okay, latest progress report. I've been going 24.3 miles, 4 hours and 38 minutes. And just been through Salaki, and there's a group of 6 or 7 of us that just caught up over the last half mile or so. Weather's actually perfect now, rain stopped, lovely temperature, and everything's going well. Got to Balmahar in 3:24-3:25. So that was about 10 minutes up on my little schedule, so I'm happy with that, and I think I've gained another couple of minutes over the last hour. I saw Ian at one point, and he told me that Marco was fourth at Rowardennan and just on 4:02, so it sounds like he's going well. You enjoying yourself?
Yeah, good.
Next little clip is arriving into Rowardennan, which is 26.73 miles into the race, and I arrived there just on 5 hours exactly.
Hiya! Where are we going?
This way? That's it, yeah, you need finance.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know where Team Kinniston is.
No, I've just got dropped back.
Right.
Yeah.
Number order.
Right.
This end.
Okay. 1, 3, 4. Well, latest update from the West Harlem Way Race. I've just gone. I'm working my way towards Inversnaid. I've ran 31.5 miles in 6 hours exactly, and I'm just on the single track now, probably about 2.5 miles to go to Inversnaid. I'm now about 17 minutes up on my 22-hour schedule, and running from into Inversnaid, I had one or two people I went past, and then basically I was on my own. And then when I got to Rowardennan, they said I was, didn't give my position, but they said I was doing well high up on the field, but no idea what position that is, doesn't really matter. But there was a guy just leaving as I left, and he was away, and I haven't seen him. But basically I've been on my own I've not looked back at all, don't know whether anyone's anywhere close, but there's no one in sight ahead. So I've ran this whole section on my Todd, but that's been fine. I've been sort of walking the ups as strong as I can and running all the downhills. A little bit of a downhill now, and safe feeling, still feeling good. Obviously I've been running for 6 hours, so you know your legs are bound to start feeling it now, but nothing, you know, I'm running when I want to run. It's no, just keeping a nice steady pace going and not breathing too hard, keeping my heart rate under control, and feet are great. These socks are brilliant. I think these Dry Max socks, because I've just got no problems at all, no soft sore spots or anything. Rucksack's good, it's nice and comfy on my back. I didn't quite manage the full pot of beans at Rotterdam, but I had about half a pot, so at least that was something. And I've got an energy bar which I've just had a bite of. I'll try and have another bite in a few minutes. So it's just had a slight drizzle, really. I haven't got my coat on, it's not cold enough, and I feel damp rather than wet, but not cold. So if I start getting cold, I'll get a jacket on, but certainly don't need it just now. So I'll say, clouds are very low, you can't see much of the mountain top, but it's still a lovely view of the loch, and pretty happy with the way things are going so far. Right, I've just gone through Inversnaid, and I've been yo-yoing a bit with Carl, and he seems to run faster than me but stop longer, so we keep sort of seeing each other. So how's it going, Carl?
So far it's going really well. I hit bottom of my heart and put it down in both on target time.
So what sort of time you're looking at?
Well, my overall time target is actually 20 hours.
Right.
But my plan was to go out really conservatively.
Yeah.
And anything faster than 3:15 into Bar Muhammad events is going too fast.
So, yeah. So you're really happy with that?
Yeah.
Because so last year you had a bit of a battle in the rain, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I'd say that was an understatement.
Oh, sadly kind.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing great, and I'm sure we'll see each other a few more times along the way.
Absolutely, thank you.
But you're going really well.
Thank you, John.
Okay, just coming up to Dario's post. So that's 38.8 miles. I've been running 7 hours 49 minutes. And probably got just under 2 miles to get to into Ben Glass. So there's Dario's post, looking down the loch. And oh, Carl's with me again. Ryan's got going again. I caught him before Connick Hill, and he was obviously really struggling, but he's just caught me in the last half an hour, and it's just a few minutes ahead now. Seems to be going a bit better, so that's good. Weather's been great still, and it's light rain now, but it's warm and it's actually good conditions. Good climb this one. Looking forward to seeing Katrina and Leslie at Ben Glass, and changing my top and then getting going again.
The next clip is arriving at Ben Glass Farm. So that is 40.69 miles into the route, and it took me 8 hours 14 minutes to get there. So I had the head cam on my head here, so the sound's not quite as good, but hopefully it gives you a bit of a feel of arriving at the checkpoint at the top of the loch.
Thanks. Hey, thanks.
Hello. Looking good, John. How you feeling?
Yeah, fine. You seen Katrina?
Yep, you're good, boy.
Yeah. Thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Keep going, John. Good.
Done.
Thank you.
Well,
excellent. A little bit of a break in the update, I'm afraid, because I left my head cam that I've been doing the recording on with my team at Auchtertier, so I couldn't do anything from Auchtertier to Bridge of Orkney. But I had a good section, again about 5 minutes or so quicker than my plan, and I had a good run. I've discovered now I'm in 26th place, so that's nice. Not that the places are the be all and end all, the time is more important to me really. And I've now been running for 62.7 miles and 13 hours and 21. So things going pretty well still. Quite comfortable, but obviously my legs are starting to just feel tired. You know, I've been running for this long, but I'm still running. Had a good run down the hill from St Murdo and Jelly Babies, and girls Leslie and Katrina waiting for me with the coke and the head cam, and Leslie was saying, "Oh, you were flying down there," so that was nice. And definitely feeling pretty good. Just a case now of just ticking off each mini split, getting to Glencoe, and then getting to the next checkpoint, just taking it a step at a time. The top end of the race, I gather, is getting really exciting. Paul Giblin, I gather, is out in front. Matt Moraz is up there as well, in sixth, I think, as he was saying. Dave Troman is up in ninth, so that's great. Well done, Dave. Marco, I think, is still up there in fourth, I think, or somewhere around there. Sadly, Ryan had to drop out. Things just went right, so he dropped out, and I think up to tier, so that's a real shame. I just seen him at Bridge of Orkney, he seems okay, but it's always hard when you've trained so hard and then things don't go right on the day. Been running with a guy, I'm quite sure his name, in blue, who's just ahead now, but I'm pretty well on my own. I don't like looking back, but I don't think there's any, can't hear anyone anyway behind me. It's been funny with Carl that I did a little interview with, okay, just after Inversnaid, because we have passed each other must be at least 4 or 5 times, because he's faster than running, keeps catching me, but then he spends a lot longer in the checkpoints, so then it takes him pretty well most of the next leg to catch up again. So for example, I left Benglass ahead of him, and then he said he spent the whole time chasing me. He could see me, and he caught me just within the last 400 yards coming into Auchtertier. So it's got funny. And then he was ahead a bit, so he caught me, he caught me again just after Tyndrum, but then he stopped from to eat again, and then I got ahead and I've not seen him again. So, but I fully expect him to come past me some points between now and Glencoe. This weather's been crazy the last half an hour. It got so cold coming down off the hill down into Inverurin Hotel. So I got my rain jacket on, and then as soon as I got it on, the sun came out and I was roasting, so I took it off again. So I just saw Peter Slosh, who's a BBC weatherman, and his daughter Cara is the girl in our club at Kilbarkin, who helps me a lot. She's a dietitian. So they come up to watch the race, and Peter was saying that there might be some light showers now, but there's definitely any wind will be a southerly wind. So that's nice, that helps to blow us to the finish. Okay, so I'm making my way up the hill, heading up to the Rannoch Moor. I quite like the Rannoch Moor, it's very desolate, but it's nice, and you can get into a bit of a rhythm and run for a fair bit, and then into Glencoe. Right, here we have the final climb out to Rannoch Moor. It's gone quite well, run a good part of it, especially obviously the downhill straight. I'm going to run much of the uphill, but I think I'm going to be pretty well spot on my split for this, which is 2:33, and I think I'm going to be there or thereabouts. I've just got to climb up this hill and then run into the Glencoe car park. Beautiful weather over the Rannoch Moor now. I put my coat on, as I said earlier, and then glad I took it off because it's really warm now. Probably the nicest part of the whole day. Sort of cloud base, but high enough that it's not really affecting us. Latest update. Now around 77.6 miles and 17 hours 12. And I must admit the last couple of hours have been really tough. I left King's House, Glencoe, and I suddenly felt really sort of sore and found it really difficult to get running again. And did bits and pieces and got going, but it was hard, and people were catching me and one or two went past. And I lost 10 minutes on a mini split to the bottom of the other staircase. And then I've lost another 5-10 minutes on the next one, up the double staircase and down the inside. So I've now only got 15 minutes buffer on my sub 22 plan. And I've got about 3.5 miles into Kinloch Leven and then the last 15 miles. So I think if I was a betting man, I'm not, but if I was, I think I'd be thinking it's going to be really tough to beat 22 hours now, unless I can get going again. I'm going to have Katrina running with me from Kinloch Leven, so maybe she can help get me going again. Still enjoying it, but I must admit it's a bit of a battle in some ways. I can still run when the track's okay, but I am finding it a lot harder. Just see Kinloch Leven in the distance now. I'd say it's just over 3 and a bit miles away. So it'll be nice to get there and again regroup a little bit and then set off for the final two legs. Right, latest update. I've ran 88.1 miles in 1926. After the last little update I did, I've had a bit of a boost really. I ran really strongly down to Kinloch Leven, so I didn't lose any more time. And basically I got there on 18 hours, which gave me 4 hours to try and get to Fort William in under 22. Spent about 7 or 8 minutes having some tea and something to eat. And then Katrina's now running with me, and we've had a really good run so far. We've almost caught a couple of people ahead, and we're back on track now, I think. So there's a good chance, if I can finish strongly, of getting under 22, which would be a real bonus.
The final clip you'll hear from my race is me finishing. So I had it on my head just as I was coming in the last few yards, 100 yards or so into the leisure centre and finishing the race. Just for the record, I finished 24th in a time of 21 hours, 26 minutes and 57 seconds. What I didn't realise was actually that the guy, John Moffat, who overtook me with about half a mile to go, and he was also a male 50, so he was first and I was second. And we finished within about 44 seconds of each other. There's not a prize for that anyway, but it was quite interesting when I saw that afterwards. So I hope you've enjoyed this part of the podcast, and I'll finish off with me just finishing the race. And then after that, I've got an interview with Ian Minty and with David McClure.
The finish of the 2013 West Harlem Way. I think I'm just gonna get under 21 and a half. Centre coming any moment around this corner. Oh, that's stormy, that's like. Come on, finish. Is leisure centre.
That's it, you beat.
Yes, okay.
I'll take that off you now.
Yeah.
And we're pulling
here.
Right, well, it's now Sunday afternoon and 1:40, the prize giving is finished and everyone's just milling around and on their way home. And I've got Ian Minty here looking very interesting with a cut eye. But Ian, how did your race go? Just give us a little update on what went on for you.
I really enjoyed it actually. I was on a 12:40 schedule for after tie and I'd caught 5 minutes, say five minutes at each checkpoint up to then, so I was running about 40 minutes, 35 minutes ahead. And then I wanted to fall asleep on the way to Alton Fay. I couldn't stay awake, so I had a bit of a power sleep, 15-minute power sleep at Bridge of Orkey. And then recovered a bit, had a nice run up Moore, and fine. Went on to the last stage, up, did the climb out of Kinlochleven. And just
it's dark now, is it?
Yes. So at about, I don't know, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, I was just a couple of miles short of Lundever and had a second fall of the day. The first one was earlier in the day, and the second fall of the day was straight onto a rock on my head, and you know, the various blood and everything, and then I unfortunately lost consciousness. And four runners that came up all stopped, all to help, which is brilliant. None of them went on. I thought that was absolutely amazing. I don't know them all by name, but thank you very much. And Neil Gibson came back from the from manning the Lundever checkpoint and sort of got me to the checkpoint where I said, by that time I'd sort of recovered a bit. I'd been a bit sick as well, and I think that all helps. And I said, I'm going, I'm finishing. You're not going to stop me. And nobody did say that. Apparently it was lost in communication. I should have been pulled from the race, but they didn't get the message over, and I wasn't listening anyway. So we slightly changed plans. I had two support runners for the last stage. It was just to be safe. Not so much for me, but for them, I think. I'm a bit of a liability now. And we just ambled towards Fort William, managed to run most of the downhill section, and finished in 27 something. I don't know the time yet. 101st place. Yeah. And I loved it, absolutely loved it. I loved the whole day. I took it easy, pretty easy, all the way through the day. Yeah. And I never felt like I'd completely trashed my legs at all or anything. Really happy. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. And do you think you'll be back for another one?
Yes.
Next
absolutely,
year?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Definitely. And you had a little trip to the hospital, is that right, overnight?
Yes, Silka sent me off packing off to the hospital, and they put a few stitches in and kept me in overnight for observation, and I jogged from the hospital to the prize giving. So apparently it's affected my looks a little bit, really. So I'm not quite as pretty as I was.
Sorry, we're just doing a podcast here. That's okay. Okay, well, thank you very much, Ian, and it's been a real pleasure following your progress over this last few months. Thanks for doing it, and we look forward to hearing about next year as well. So, well done.
Thank you very much. That's great. Thank you.
It's now Monday afternoon, and it's just gone 2 o'clock on Monday, the 24th of June. I didn't quite get a chance to catch David after the prize giving yesterday. I had a quick interview with Ian Minty, but I thought it'd be good to catch up with David this afternoon. I'm writing my race report, so I've broken off my race report to do this. I'm just at Glencoe, so I'm almost there on my report. But I did want to just get a feel of, have a chat with David, and we've been following you over the last few months, David, and you finished in 19 hours, 55 minutes and 48 seconds. So congratulations. How does it feel?
It feels great to have finished. And I think when we first spoke in January, my main goal was to finish and get under 24 hours would have been I would have been considering that a good time. And then after the fling, we revised that a little bit and went for the sub 20, and to make it under that was great.
I must admit, I did see your time and I was really, really pleased that you'd done that. But part of me was quite chuffed as well that you didn't quite beat my PB.
It's interesting. I've just written down all the splits and was overlooking them, and I was in front all the way until between Kinloch Leaven and Fort William. That's where I didn't quite manage to get underneath your splits that I was following. But I was delighted with the time.
It would have been quite funny, actually, if I'd have done that times... the same year as you, we probably would have had quite a close race, wouldn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so just give us a little feel about how the race went.
From the start, I think I was one of the last people to check in. I didn't check in till about 12:10, and it just all felt such a surreal experience. The best way to describe it was like a dream. It was almost like I was on the outside watching in. And then after the race briefing, seeing everybody at the start, and there was a big crowd at the start to watch everyone start off, so that was great. And then I haven't ran much in the dark at all, so I was a wee bit worried about how that would be, but because it's bunched up at the start, there was no problems with the light, and the rain stayed off. It came on a little bit, but it wasn't the heavy downpour, so the start was fine, no problems at all. Got down into Drimmen and 155, and I think we're looking for 157, so right on plan. And then was kind of running with the same bunch of guys. There was one guy that kept me amused. I need to try and find out his name, but he took two wrong turns and he was just bobbing back and forth. I thought, in a 95-mile race, you don't want to be adding more distance to it. So that kept me chuckling away. Got down into Balmaha, about 8 minutes ahead of schedule. We're looking for 3:16. I was in 3:08. Tried to not hang around. I think my dad had decided it was like a Formula 1 pit stop. He was trying to get me in and out there as quick as he can. And I got out the checkpoint and realised that I didn't have quite all the things that I had wanted. So I blame him for that. But Balmaha to Rawerdennen, I ran with a couple of guys. I think one of the guys was Derek Castles. It was his first time as well. So got to chat away to him a little bit. He seemed a wee bit stronger runner, so I was quite happy just to kind of let him get ahead. Into Rawerdennen in 4:33, so I was 13 minutes ahead at that point and felt really good. Didn't want to hang along too much there, as I'm sure everybody will be aware, the midges were mental when you get in there. And I had met my support team there, and I knew that was the last time I was going to see them for a wee while, so got a few things and then headed on to Benglass. And that was really the worst part of the race for me. I don't know, just speaking to yourself briefly there, John, you said you had a kind of bad spell just after Glencoe, and you just felt as if all the energy had went, and it was exactly the same feeling. And all the things that go through your head, I'll just pretend my knee's locked up, that'll do me. I'll just stop at the next checkpoint. And then you start to think about everybody that's following the race and things like doing these podcasts. I would have hated to come back on and done an interview at the end and say, oh, well, I didn't actually quite finish. So things like that kept me going. And even though I really struggled there, I knew I was getting further behind my time for that section of the race. There was only one guy who went past me. I think it was Mark Leggett. He went past me, and he went on to have quite a good finish. So that kept me going a bit. That although I felt as if I was really struggling, it wasn't as if loads of people were flying past me, which I'd expected. So. Got into Ochtertier and into Benglass at 7:40. So I went from being 13 minutes ahead at Rawerdennen to suddenly only 1 minute ahead. So it's amazing how quickly it can just go. But I tried to stay off gels and try and stay off Coke for as long as I can. But I sat down at Benglass Farm and had a small bottle of Coke and a sandwich, and just seeing my support team, because I hadn't seen them for the last 3 hours, it was quite good to see them, and it definitely perked me up a wee bit. And then heading off to Octoteer, I started to feel a lot stronger. I felt as if I was running faster than what I'd kind of expected for that section. We'd spoken previous podcasts as well about how important it was to be able to run the downhills, and I had been quite protective early on in the race, especially like off Connick and stuff, just to take it as easy as I could. So I was managing to run through the forest up at Crean Larrack quite comfortably, and then got into Octoteer. I was back up to 5 minutes ahead of schedule. I was down at 9:42, so I was quite happy with that, and I was happy that I kind of got through the bad spell. And just from listening and reading other people's blogs, you know you're going to have bad spells, and it was good just to get through that. And I half expected to get another one somewhere before then in the finish, but thankfully it didn't. I managed to keep going. So through Octoteer, from Ben Glass to all the way to Fort William, I think I only seen 3 runners. It was quite strange. It felt as if all, it was almost just a training run, because doing only the fling and stuff like that, there's more people and less mileage, so you see a lot more people, you pass people and people maybe pass you, whereas I felt as if I was out on my own a lot more. It was only really myself and Derek that he was always within maybe kind of 5-10 minutes of me. And it was really strange from there all the way to Kinloch leaving. He seemed to get away from me all the time, and then I got to the checkpoints and he took a wee bit longer, so we would always go out the checkpoints together and then he'd get away and then I'd catch him up again. So it was good just to be able to chat to somebody. It's a long time to go just on your own, so that definitely broke it up a wee bit for me. So on to Bridge of Orkney. We got into Bridge of Orkney I think it was 11:34. Again, I was pretty happy with that. Felt pretty strong at that point. Just touching on the nutrition side of things, I didn't have a problem at all. When I did the fling, I was eating because I had to, whereas I found it quite easy to eat for whatever reason in this race. Didn't have a problem with anything apart from I'd thrown in a pepperami to try that, but that was a no-go. That was the only thing that I didn't really enjoy. But everything else, I ate quite a lot of sweet stuff, I didn't have any problems, and I did take a lot of gels, and I managed to get away with it as best I can. So on to Glencoe, running over the Rannoch Moor, started to feel a wee bit tired, but just cracked on. Ran when I could, walked when I couldn't, into Glencoe at 13:52, took my kind of longest break so far, and had a wee chat to my girlfriend Leanne, who was doing the second half of the race, supporting the second half of the race, it was just great to know that somebody was waiting for you at the checkpoints. It definitely kept you going. I never once looked at the overall mileage. The furthest I've ever ran before was the fling. So after 53 miles, it was all brand new territory. But breaking it up into those sections and just focusing on whether it was an hour and a half or an hour and 47, whatever it was to each checkpoint, it made a big, big difference. And mentally, didn't think, oh, I've got this amount of miles to do. I just kept thinking about the next checkpoint. I'd definitely recommend that to somebody doing their first race. It was a real help to me. Going from Glencoe to Kinloch Leaven, I know a lot of people don't really like the Devil's Staircase, but things like that, I feel they kind of break it up. It was a rest from the running. You know that not many people are going to be running up the Devil's Staircase, so just kind of took my time walking up. And then as soon as I got to the top, I got a real sore blister on my small toe of my foot, and it was such an acute pain. My legs were a wee bit achy, but I suddenly felt I couldn't put my foot down, and I was ending up having to run on my heels. I was thinking I've got a long way to go to Kinloch leaving here. I'm going to lose a lot of time, but luckily the mountain support team were there, and they managed to put a blister plaster on it, and it took the pain away straight away. So can't really thank them enough. They probably saved me, I'd guess, between probably 20 to 30 minutes on my overall time. So thanks very much to them. Go down into Kinloch leaving again. Speaking in previous podcasts, I was really wary of whether I would still be able to run, having previous problems with my quads. But I think the runs up Ben Lomond made a huge, huge difference, or sort of certainly the runs down made a huge difference, because I didn't have any problems with my quads all day. Managed to run all the way down, albeit not probably as fast as I would have liked, but at least I was still running. And at that point of the race, I was more than happy to do that. So into Kinloch leaving, we were 11 minutes ahead of schedule there. I decided to change my shoes because it had been, the rain had been kind of on and off all day. I just suddenly felt as if my shoes were really, really heavy. So changed my socks, and the blister plaster had came off. So Dr. Chris had took me into the table and patched that up, just in case I had any problems over the Laragh Mór. So I was probably in Kinloch leaving for a lot longer than I had anticipated. I think I was probably in there for about 20 minutes, and both the first and second lady went past me there, although I seen Lorna, I didn't see Rosie. So they both went past me, and that was really the only people that had went past me from River Denning. And I thought I'd have a chance of catching them up, but the two of them went on to finish in great times. I never seen them again. So left Kinloch leaving, and Derek was a wee bit in front of me. Again, he must have stayed in that checkpoint for half an hour. He'd started to really struggle. He said he was starting to feel sick, so I pushed on ahead of him and half expected him to catch me up, but never really seen him again to the end. I think he must have struggled with the kind of sickness over the last section. I was okay down to Llandavra. I managed to keep running when I wanted to, but as soon as I got through the Llandavra checkpoint, I don't know, mentally just knowing it's 6 miles to go, I think it can work both ways. I think you can think, oh, I'm nearly there, I'm really going to push on, or your body starts to think, right, it's nearly time to stop. I really struggled coming out of Llandavra, and I really struggled to get running again. But I had a goal in my head that even if I did walk all the way up till the steep downhill, if I could run the downhill, I was confident that I would get under the 20 hours. My watch, the battery done me well up until Llandavra, and just past Llandavra it conked out. So I didn't know whether I was going to make it under the 20 hours, and I had my phone on me, so I decided not to look at the time until I got to the bottom of the hill at Braveheart car park. I didn't want to know whether or not I was touch and go, because I thought I'd really start to struggle if I knew I wasn't going to make it. So I didn't look, ran all the way down to the car park, had a look at my phone, and I had 14 minutes to go, and I think the last mile was my quickest mile. I felt so much better running quicker. It was great being able to run the last mile and getting to the end, and thinking that all the hours and hours of training has been worthwhile, and it's all came in, and got there in 1955 with 5 minutes to spare. Still 3 minutes off your best time. But I was more than happy with it. And just to touch on the finish, I expected when I finished the fling, I had that kind of real sense of achievement, but it was really surreal at the end. I didn't really know how to feel. It just felt like, well, that's it done now, what happens now? It was almost a depressing feeling, whereas I was expecting to be overjoyed. The next day as well, I struggled a wee bit. I was felt a bit sick and just sheer exhaustion probably. But the day after having a full night's rest, I feel a lot better and more than happy with how things went. So here's to next year.
Well, honestly, a huge congratulations. You finished 13th. which was a cracking performance, you know, especially for someone in their first go. And I think those that have followed your progress over the podcasts and know you will know that you've put the work in. And I think when you do put the work in and you put the miles in and the way you train and prepared yourself, then you've got the dividends, you know, that's certainly been true.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I said as well that if things didn't go so well on Saturday, I wouldn't have looked back with any regrets. I felt as if I'd done as much as I possibly could training-wise without getting injured. And at the end of the day, when you've never done the race before and you want to make sure you complete it, I don't think you can go full throttle at it, because all you're doing is giving yourself a chance of DNFing, which I seriously didn't want to do. So I think I could do it quicker, but I was more than happy with the time. I was absolutely delighted with the time, and I look forward to having a wee crack at trying to get below that.
Yeah. As you look back over the race and over the last few months, is there anything that you will do, you'd do significantly different for next year? Or do you think you've basically got a good pattern to be able to, you know, have another go next year?
I think I probably did 80% of things correctly. I think I need to do a wee bit more hill work. I think from Rowerden and onwards, I don't think I ran up any hills. I think I walked as quick as I could up all the hills, and the amount of time that you could probably save. Again, I was trying to protect and make sure that I got to the end and I could still run down from into Kinlochleven and stuff like that. So I think doing a bit more hill training earlier on will certainly been a help. And again, just to try and do it a wee bit quicker, a little bit more speed work. But I mean, you can't do everything, as I say. I've only been running now, that's not really 2.5 years. It's not really a long time. I'm sure all the guys are at the top end of the race, they've been doing it a lot longer. I think it's just doing it, the years and years of training will certainly pay off. I think, I mean, I'm 29. I was really surprised at the kind of age brackets. I mean, to see guys, I can't remember the gentleman's name, he was 70.
70, amazing.
I just thought, it just shows you. But I think the average age, I don't know what it'll be, but I would guess it would be kind of mid-40s or maybe even kind of touching 50 would be the average. Yeah. You know better than me, John, what the average age is.
I'll work it out sometime.
I would say that I'm still quite young in terms of an ultra runner, so I'm still really enjoying it, and I quite like the competitive side of it and how that I could improve. I enjoy all the idea of the family and how everybody helps everybody out, and I think that's great. But deep down, there is a competitor in there, and finishing 13th that next year, that unless I finish 12th, I would look back at that and I wouldn't be happy with it. So I think just another year of solid training would make such a difference in terms of trying to improve.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. You look at someone like Andy Cole this year, he's 64, and this was his 7th West Harlem Way, and that was a PB. And that, I just thought it's incredible. You know, and I do wish I'd got into ultra running when I was younger. I only discovered it when I was 46.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm pleased that I'm loving it. And maybe if I did it earlier, I mightn't be running now. I don't know. But I think someone like yourself at 29, you've got another 15 years if you stick at it, an improvement. So we could be talking to a future winner, David.
I wouldn't go that far. That team of Paul Gubbin is unbelievable.
Oh, I know.
I think I wasn't even at Glencoe when he was finished. It's hard to believe.
It is.
It's a tremendous achievement. Yeah. And guys like Marco, listening to him previous podcasts, it was great to hear how good a race he had. I mean, there's so many good stories. Yeah. The prize giving was great to get a bit, because when you're doing the race, you're not really aware of anything that's going round about you. So to hear some of the stories at the end was just brilliant.
I know. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, you were saying earlier you had a bit of a struggle, and you assume that loads of people are going to go past you, don't you?
Yeah.
But everyone else is having their own struggles.
That's it.
It's all relative.
So 2 minutes behind you, or 32 minutes behind you, you've no real idea of of what's going on round about you. And probably just being the first time, the blind panic sets in and you think, oh, 50 people are going to go past me. But you find out that it's not quite like that. And then later on in the race, you can turn around and you can see for quite a bit. So I found that quite helpful. I thought that being able to turn around and know that nobody was right behind me, that was certainly an advantage.
Well, I just want to say again, congratulations. It's been really fun following your, you know, having these podcasts.
It's been great. Yeah.
And just sort of following your training preparation for it. And I just think you nailed it. You know, that was a really good performance, a great performance. You know, you're both the Fling and the West Highland Way. They must give you a lot of confidence as you go into the future as well.
Yeah, certainly do. I haven't entered anything. I've entered the River Air race just because it's my local one. And the only time I'd entered that, I think I touched on in the very first podcast, I turned up a day late for that one. I've got some demons to sort out there.
Is this a bit of a pattern emerging here? Turning up at 10 past 12 and...
I got a few messages saying 13th place, that's a bit ironic for one of them. So I'm really looking forward to being able to do the race again, and hopefully I can do it again next year. I haven't had a chance to get to any of the kind of organised training runs, but I'm hoping next year that I'll be able to get along to them and hopefully meet a few other people that have kind of followed the progress and people that I've met along the way. So that'll be nice as well.
Yeah, and I think for you to improve as well, if you could run with some of the guys who are in the top 10, I think that would give you just to, like I was thinking, you know, you were saying about walking a lot of the hills. I think at the level I'm at, I would say after Rowadennan, I'm walking more all the hills and I'm trying to run as much as I can the downhills and flats. But I'd love to know what the top, you know, people like your Marcos and your, well, Pauls and Richie, these sort of guys, I wonder how much they run of that second half. And it's, you'll only find out is, you know, if you do some training runs with them and learn from them, because they're the guys that you want to then emulate now, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, certainly. No, it's a good idea. I definitely think running with people and you get so much good information from them as well. As I say, the listening to the podcast you did with Marco, I got quite a lot of information out of that. So things like that, and that'll make a difference, and that's certainly on my list of how to improve.
Well, I think we best finish that, because I did
back to your blog.
I've got to finish off my report, and also I did. I decided to do a podcast on the run, so I was doing updates. I tried to do one between each section, so I think this one could be about 2 hours long. I might have to split it into two, maybe. But anyway, it's been great to chat to you, and thanks again for doing this. And maybe we could follow you next year as well. We'll see.
But
congratulations, David, and I hope you recover well and do well in your next races as well.
Thank you, and well done to everybody that competed this year. Great achievement by everybody. Well done.
Thanks. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode 46 of the West Highland Way Race Podcasts. A little bit different to give you hopefully a bit of a flavour of the race from actually live as I ran it, and then also a quick chat with Ian and David, who've been following over the last few months in their preparation and training. And I'm glad that both of them finished safely, and especially Ian with his cut eye. If you see some photographs of him, you'll see what a cut it was across his eye. That'll be the last podcast I'll do for a few weeks, actually. We're off on holiday for a few weeks for our daughter's wedding in Indonesia, so I won't be able to get a chance to do any podcasts for another month or so. So I will try and catch up with a few people. It'd be great to interview the new course record holder, Paul Giblin. We have interviewed him before, and since he lives in Paisley, I can get him round, and hopefully we can get a good feel about how the race went for him and what's it like to run in just over 15 hours 7 minutes. It's just incredible. So it'll be great to find out a bit more about him. But these podcasts have also been about everyone who finishes, and I'd love to get some more interviews with people who were right throughout the field, not just the top end, but in the middle at the end as well, because everyone's got their own race and their own story to tell. Well, I hope if you were involved in the race this year as a runner, that you are feeling recovered and starting to recover this week. Commiserations for those who didn't quite make it and didn't get to the end, and I hope it's made you determined to come back next year and have another go and get that prize goblet. And for those that were supporting or marshalling, then a big thank you to you as well. This race wouldn't happen without all your hard work. Think of friends like Neil and Caroline that were in Llandovera, and they got there about 2 in the afternoon and then left about 9 the next morning. So just an incredible stint. And lots of other people were awake right throughout the whole weekend being involved in the race. So a massive thank you to all them. And a special thank you to Ian Beattie, who was involved as the race director, organising and holding the whole thing together. And everyone really appreciates all the work that Ian and everyone else involved in the race puts on so that we can enjoy this great event. So once again, thank you for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And remember, slow and steady wins the race.